Hey everyone, I'm interrupting this episode because I want to tell you about a free masterclass that I'm hosting. I'm constantly hearing from motion designers and studio owners that they just don't have the time to work on their businesses. And I get it, it's hard to wear all the hats in your business and stay on top of everything. When the project ends, do you find yourself scrambling for the next gig on LinkedIn or sending a ton of cold emails? This just isn't sustainable in the long run. I found that building systems and processes in my business to free up my time was the best way to grow a business and have more time to do the things that I love. It's not easy, but I want to share with you what I've learned over the past few years and also what I've been teaching my students in my courses. So I'm hosting a free masterclass on the 21st of May for freelance motion designers and studio owners who are looking for more balance. After Balance Business Masterclass, you're going to walk away with a system to help you save time, make more money, and work on fun and creative projects. Of course, I'll also be doing a live Q&A to answer any questions that you have. And I'm going to invite just 20 people to work with me inside my coaching program, Balance Business Bootcamp. This won't open again until later this year. So if you want to get access to that and you want to join us in this free masterclass, then go and find the link in the show notes to register or go to motionhatch.com/pod. Hope to see you in there. Now let's get back to this episode.
I mean, I've been regularly reviewing my months for years now, and I will link something from like February last year that relates to something that has quite recently happened, and there's an opportunity. So yeah, I think that it's quite important to put down what your wins and your failures are for a month, because they could lead into a future success combined with something that you've learned more recently.
Hey Hatchlings, welcome to the Motion Hatch podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Akins. Hey Hatchlings, and welcome to episode 95 of the Motion Hatch podcast. Today on the show, we have Justin Archer. I worked with Justin recently in our MoGraph Accelerator program. It is a 6-month coaching and mastermind program. So if you're interested in that, just send us an email at hello@motionhatch.com and we'll get back to you with some more information about it. But today we want to talk to Justin about how he created a passive income business making templates for Final Cut Pro editors. This has allowed him the freedom to create his new creative studio, Bashwax. So we dive deep into how you can make money on the side as a freelancer or as a full-time motion designer making templates. Justin has found a way to work with other people's audiences to market his products as well, which is really, really amazing. And even if you're not looking to make money on the side creating templates, I think that there are some really great marketing tips and also some mindset ones too in this episode. So let's get into it. Hey, Justin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Hayley.
So you have 21,000 sales of your templates on Envato Market, which I thought was pretty impressive. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how you got started making templates and a bit about your background?
Okay, sure. So I have been a professional motion designer for 9 years now. Half of that has been working for companies, specifically I started out in marine science doing animations for them, and then I moved on to online education. And then the other half of that time has been spent freelancing and also just pursuing my own projects, one of which being creating the templates for Final Cut Pro. So let me just break it down. I think that I started building templates more as a way for me to commission my own personal projects. So what I was working on at the time, I was put for quite an extended period of time on an accounting project, which as far as motion design projects go, it's pretty low on the totem pole of what you'd rather be doing. And I wasn't getting enough exposure to the 3D work that I wanted to be doing at the time. And so I was creating personal projects, but nothing that I took seriously enough. And then I saw Envato. I never really thought much of it, but I thought, okay, this would be a cool opportunity. The Rugby World Cup was on at the time, and I thought, okay, let me see if I can create a 3D model of a rugby ball, texture it, and then comp it in After Effects in some way that makes it look photorealistic. So I set myself that challenge, and I thought, okay, I technically have a client, and if I sell anything at all, that's a bonus on top of it. So it was basically just another motivator for me to do my own personal projects, because at that time, I wanted to put a more diverse showreel together. Of projects that I wasn't getting enough exposure to. And I did sell a few things, fortunately, or rather unfortunately, the exchange rate here is so poor. So any dollars was quite a, like a windfall. So it opened my eyes to what was possible. Then after that, I started researching a bit more and I noticed that it was more of the multi-purpose kind of motion graphics that were selling more regularly, things like titles, for example. So I started putting more of my time into creating lower thirds and titles projects for After Effects. And those would sell a lot better. But I also noticed that they would only have a certain window of opportunity to sell before something newer came out and took the sales that you would have had otherwise. And that's when I started, you know, digging a bit more. And I noticed that Final Cut Pro was completely undersaturated as a market in comparison to After Effects. And fortunately, at the time, I was working at a business where I was, I think, one or two motion designers with seven editors, all of whom were editing on Final Cut Pro. So I needed to know that pipeline. And I had some knowledge, very little, but I had enough knowledge that I could build a Final Cut Pro template. Quite, in fact, it was exactly the same as the After Effects lower third template that I made at the start. Built that over a couple of weekends. Uploaded it, and it was outselling the After Effects version by 6 to 1. So from that point on, it was just basically experimenting with what else would work in a niche that I already found a bit of success in. So yeah, it sort of like grew from what that initial platform of like a 1 year period to what it is today.
Yeah. So when was this? Like how many years ago was this when you first started?
So 2015, that was around the time of the World Cup, and I sort of started building lower thirds title stuff between December and January in 2016, if I remember correctly. But some took longer than others, because like I say, I was really starting this with a basic understanding of motion. Anybody who's ever like tried that in comparison to After Effects will know that it's quite a different way of, you know, arranging motion graphics. I feel like it's a lot poorer in terms of features, but there are some benefits to it. But I think I also came in a bit like I was biased. You know, I think a lot of After Effects people are. They look at Apple Motion and think, oh, this thing doesn't have anywhere near the same features, or what am I doing wasting my time? But very quickly, I realized that it is quite a strong platform that you can do quite a lot with. And knowing how many of the YouTubers I followed that were editing on Final Cut Pro and just generally in the space of video production, Final Cut Pro was still super popular, and it didn't have a pipeline with as many creators building motion graphics tools for those users.
Yeah, that makes sense. So did you sort of saw a gap in the market then, I guess, to kind of fill with your templates? Because I think that's the question that a lot of people will have today. Like you said, like, well, the market is kind of oversaturated. So I guess, would you recommend to anyone who's kind of looking to get started making templates to try and find something that maybe everyone else isn't doing, but there's still a market for?
I think that would help. I don't think people should be going into it just with the focus being on money. I think that I sort of fell into this by mistake. I initially just did it for personal projects, and I just noticed sort of trends that would work in my favor with the fortune that I already had some Apple Motion experience and now got to like increase that. I think now if you are going to look at what might work, DaVinci Resolve is obviously growing quite quickly, and I don't think it's got anywhere near as much of a presence in terms of templates on websites. So there is that gap in the market. But again, I think that you've got to enjoy doing it. You don't want to force yourself into doing something that isn't going to come naturally, because that'll show in the work that you produce.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point, because it's like anything, you know, you could basically do a lot of things to make money, you know, but if you're not enjoying them, then it's kind of besides a point. But I think it is a really good way to like supplement your freelance work and things like that, because then obviously, you know, we spoke about passive income a bit before on this podcast, but where you have, you know, your clients can kind of come in waves. And I like to think of it, if you can have a little bit of passive income, you can kind of fill in the kind of dips a bit more. So tell us how you choose what templates to make, and I'd love to hear about which products has sold the best as well.
All right. So it's kind of a combination of factors. And I think initially it came a lot down to what suited the market. Obviously, you could keep one eye on After Effects and see what was doing well there, because you don't have the same level of competition in the Final Cut Pro ecosystem. And some of it also came down to if I'd learned a new technique that I hadn't found before or somebody else wasn't using. Let's say, for example, you know, in After Effects with titling, how there was a sort of phase, a lot of templates were coming out where you had text on screen and the backplates behind it would auto adjust to however long the text was created. Now, that took a while to figure out how to get Apple Motion to do that and sort of correspond with Final Cut Pro. But when that happened, that was when I was like, okay, cool, this makes sense. Now I need to build a tool that brings that out. And so that's what I did at the time. But then sometimes it's also just been personal projects. Again, like I just wanted to create 3D device mockups. And I kind of knew that that was more of a niche thing, but I wanted to challenge myself, see if I could build something that looks photorealistic. And if I could find a way to import tracking data into Motion, that would like give me a big boost, so to speak, I guess. And then sometimes it has been, you know, how do I see things playing out? What is sort of the competition doing? And I guess this also leads on to the next question, like what is my best selling product? I have one project that I've been gradually updating since 2017. And at the time, what it was I wanted to, you know, how in the cell phone industry, you've got something that's sort of like a mid-level, and then you've also got sort of like your flagship. So like sort of the S21 or whatever the latest and most expensive iPhone is. So what I wanted to do is I had several titles packs that were all about like 50 to 100 titles. And I wanted to create one that was 250, price at a slightly more expensive price bracket, and compare the profit margins that those would bring in. So I did that. It took a lot longer and a lot more mental strength, but eventually it came right. And I got the branding okay-ish. To be honest, looking back now, it looks poor, but I think for the time in the sort of premature market that existed, it was okay. And then I figured, okay, well, what happens if I sort of update this one time? And I noticed gradually that it earned a reputation. It was getting more 5-star reviews and getting like positive comments about the customer service that they were receiving. So it was at that point that I noticed my income was starting to come more from that product than the others. That also came down to the fact that there was more competition than existed at the start when I first started producing stuff. And I guess that was sort of my focus for maybe 2 to 3 years, was just updating that. Like I put other things out, but they wouldn't do very well. Those were more personal projects. So doing sort of 30 seconds, high energy sequences that people can use to promote an event or a product. But those were just, you know, for myself really. Then the collection was really the focus of bringing the business in, building onto something that has already got a reputation, because somebody can easily create another titles or a lower thirds product, but it's quite difficult for them to compete when I've got a track record of, you can see at the bottom, like every year, 2017, 2018, 2019, what changes have happened. And also it's completely impossible to compete with, you know, a product that's got 100 reviews, and it's just got sort of excellent client feedback. That's something that is built over time. And that's something that I realized. I did take a risk, because when I did create that update, it was sort of 6 months of my life. And I kept telling myself that, like, look, it's probably not going to do well, but it's already paid for itself. The time has already been paid for. And if it does work out, then it could be hugely beneficial for my follow-up plans post working on templates. And fortunately, it did work out and it was quite successful. And that led to another major update, which is what I worked on last year, which was basically doubling the amount of content in that motion graphics collection. But it also didn't allow me as much time to focus on my creative endeavors that I would have liked. That's why this year is a complete switch around and I'm focusing much more on my own sort of creative passion.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like before we get into, you know, what you're doing now and how you're moving forward and things like that, because I think that's really interesting. I wanted to talk a bit more about like, when was the switch? Because I know that originally you were working full time and then your template business could support you. Like when was that and how did you kind of make that decision, I guess?
Okay, so I suppose my whole sort of journey from starting templates to leaving my full-time job actually happened pretty quickly, if I look back on it now, because that happened over a period of a year. And I guess, yeah, like I said, I just got quite fortunate in the position that I was and that I was also able to determine the kind of trajectory that I should have taken with the template stuff, focusing on Final Cut Pro. So I found after a year that my income from working on templates had already more than doubled what I was earning as a salary. So if anything, I was just spending more, well, I was wasting my time working at that point, knowing that I could be focusing on taking my own direction outside of my work and obviously earning a lot more for it. So that's when that happened.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I wanted to talk about marketing a bit because obviously you have to market your products a bit, I assume. Like you're mainly putting stuff on Envato Market, which I guess they kind of help a bit. But do you want to explain a bit about how you have gone about marketing in the past and maybe about how you market now as well?
Yeah, okay. So yeah, like you said, that the market does do a lot of its own advertising and they have their own sales at various stages of the year. On my own, I've tried a lot of things out and failed. And I suppose that's also what I've enjoyed a lot about this whole experience is that I have been the driver behind what works and what doesn't work. And I've learned a lot out of those failures. So I've tested email marketing campaigns, which have been a total waste of my time. And maybe I just didn't do them right because I've seen a lot of other creators doing similar things. So they must be working. I probably just didn't have the determination to pursue that further. Other than that, I've also created a YouTube channel. So I was basically creating tutorials for Final Cut Pro editors. Obviously, the only drawback there is that I'm not a Final Cut Pro editor, so my knowledge only extends so far. But fortunately, I was able to get some knowledge from somebody who does edits in Final Cut Pro more regularly. And also some things were just kind of obvious. And like, for instance, one video was basically, you know, in After Effects, how you basically have to purge your memory or your cache after some time. So the same thing happens in Final Cut Pro, but it doesn't have a limit. So you could potentially have one Final Cut Pro project that's sitting with 250 gigabytes on your computer. And I figured out a quick fix for this and wanted to create a very compressed formatted video that people can understand that. So that was the most successful video. That gained me a lot of traction. And other than that, like I've got videos that have, so that one was about 60,000 or rather 50,000. And then there's others that got a few thousand, but it definitely wasn't my thing. I can tell that I definitely don't have passion for making tutorials. Maybe for After Effects one day, but my editing skills, I think I just don't have the confidence to build those sorts of tutorials. But it was super fun trying to figure out how to build that audience and the lessons that I learned through the YouTube ecosystem as well. But yeah, other than that, I've also spoken to micro influencers on YouTube. In fact, I do have a marketing partner who contacts, who's now in charge of finding micro influencers who don't have the biggest followings, but they have a far more direct relationship with the content that you're trying to advertise. So say, for instance, I mean, I can use mine as an example because it's so obvious, but I'm trying to reach out to Final Cut Pro editors. So what better way than going after channels that may have only 2,000 to 3,000 subscribers, but their content is Final Cut Pro content. So if you're watching those videos, you are a Final Cut Pro editor. We've got some interest in Final Cut Pro. So it's a direct way of accessing your market.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, you know, I guess like how I've sort of built this business up is obviously doing this podcast and building the audience and stuff like that as well. And, you know, doing a lot of free content and that kind of thing. And I can see that a lot of people don't want to do that. Like we were talking about earlier, you have to enjoy the process. You know, I have to enjoy making these podcasts. I'm not just doing it just for me. You know, I like doing it. I like helping people and stuff like that. But like your example, you're not a Final Cut Pro editor. You were kind of doing that to like support your business, even though you did have like some interest in it as well, which totally makes sense, which, you know, now it would make more sense, like you said, to do more After Effects tutorials and things like that. But yeah, I just wanted to dig more into the micro-influencer thing because I think that's super smart. And I think most people wouldn't really understand like how to go about that. So tell me to begin with, like why micro-influencers, like why these kind of small YouTubers who only have like a couple of thousand followers or something like that, subscribers?
I think because it's possible for you to take much less of a financial hit on a risk. Because if you're paying a big influencer and it doesn't work out, then, and I've done this, like you can end up spending, you know, $1,000 on a video that makes you no hits. But if you find a small influencer with 2,000 or 3,000 subscribers, you can pay them $100 or $150 because they're just starting out. And so your burden is far less.
Yeah, that makes sense. I kind of like it as well, the idea, because I mean, not many companies, you know, especially the big ones, would support the small YouTubers and would pay them anything, you know. So I kind of like that, you know, you thought to do that and you're paying them a little bit and then you're kind of getting a lot back from that. I think it's actually like a really nice way of working, you know, because like you say, most small kind of YouTubers like around 2000K are probably not really getting any offers for, you know, any sponsorship or anything like that. So I think it's kind of a nice thing too, because then you get to support their channel as well.
They also tend to be more passionate about what they're doing. I mean, this is obviously on a case-by-case basis, but if you've got somebody who has a channel with 1 million to 2 million subscribers, or even like 300,000, then it is a lot more of a business and it is, you know, I find that they are a lot more or a lot less willing to take the job as passionately as perhaps somebody who's got a real interest in editing and has taken that up by building a channel. So you get a lot more of a personal experience through somebody who's perhaps got a smaller following, but is doing it for the right reasons. Not that somebody who is big is not, but I can understand that there's a lot more on their plates.
Yeah, like they have more sponsors, they have more requests for people asking them to do stuff. So your product or whatever you're trying to kind of advertise to them is obviously not going to, you know, get as far, or they're not maybe going to be able to put as much into it. But it's, I guess I get what you mean. You're trying to, it's like weighing up that, you know, the amount of views versus like the amount of effort and time someone might put into something as well, I think.
I was just going to say you have a much more real relationship with somebody who's able to give you a little bit more time to, you know, be personal. Otherwise, sometimes it's just like, this is what I'm going to be advertising this day. You don't even speak directly to the person who's going to be, you know, looking at it and reviewing it and telling people what they think about it. But that's not to influence the content at all. It's just, you know, missing the ability to have a face-to-face conversation and just be like, you know, normal.
Yeah, of course. So, and as well, I feel like with some small YouTubers or podcasters or whatever, they have quite a lot of influence with their audience because they probably know their audience more personally and stuff like that as well. And they probably interact with them a bit more, their community, you know, like I always try to talk to people quite a lot and get a lot of feedback for the podcast and all of that kind of stuff all the time. And so I feel like if you've got like a channel with 1 million subscribers, you know, you're not talking directly to the audience like as much as you would be if you kind of have a smaller following, you know, because you just can't, like it would be impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. Your viewership is spread a lot wider than sort of a much more narrow, smaller channel's viewership is.
Yeah, exactly. And those channels, I think as well, maybe aren't as niche too. So I think there's really a lot of power in like sponsoring kind of niche influencers, you know. So yeah, I'd love to talk more about like so basically what you're doing is you're sort of marketing your product to someone else's audience, so you don't need to have your own audience. But like, how much is of those kind of micro influencers, how much are they bringing in sales compared to like Envato Market kind of marketing it themselves?
That's hard to determine. You know, sometimes you get somebody who just gets the algorithm right. I think one of the first influencers that I worked with we were able to hit 100,000 views on one video. And that obviously you noticed pretty quickly. But I think for the most part, it's a lot low and a lot less noticeable. But I sort of see it as quite an important part of the business to keep. Like just because Coke's known around the world doesn't mean they stop advertising. There's still people that it hasn't reached. And yeah, it's just a way of keeping the name out there. And I see like a marketing budget as just part of the running day-to-day part of the business.
Yeah, no, I think it's really awesome. So I want to move on to talk a bit about what you mentioned earlier about, you know, what this template business has kind of allowed you to do now and what your focus is going to be moving forward. So I know you obviously joined our 6-month MoGraph Accelerator program to work on your new studio, Bashwax, which I'm really excited about. So I want to tell us about like how, what you did last year, you mentioned it a bit earlier, and like, how has that allowed you to work on your studio as your full focus this year?
Right. Okay. So last year I spent the whole year with another major update to the collection, with the idea being that if I focus on that, it would give me enough passive income that I could have the freedom of time this year to really focus on finding my style. So this year has been more about creative projects, collaborating with designers that I look up to, taking courses. I'm currently doing the advanced motion methods, and I've also done quite a few motion design school courses as well. So I've really just enjoyed using this year to watch guys that I've been watching for years create amazing stuff, learn the techniques that they've been honing for years, and also just creating like whatever I want to create on my social media pages, but also just embracing more of the freelance projects as well. Because I think in the past, obviously excusing last year, because last year was just mostly put on the templates. Before that, I would only get to do one like sort of real job every 3 months or one every 2 months, for example. But that's the more of the direction that I want to take. And the idea behind Bashwax is I haven't put out a showreel in 5 or 6 years, probably since I first went freelance. And I decided that if I'm going to start doing more creative work now, it makes sense to build it underneath a new identity, not myself, because there is the potential for that to grow into something else one day. And like you said, this has also given me, you know, financial opportunities that could work as startup capital to pursuing something bigger than just myself. So yeah, right now I'm just enjoying being on my own, not having any outside pressures or stresses, that I can just focus my time on what makes my own animation journey fun this year, and then see how much content I've produced. Because my plan is, I think by January, February, I'll have enough work that I'm really proud of that I can build into a showreel and then a website, and then see where that takes me. But don't look too far ahead. Just enjoy the moment that I'm in now.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it's just been great to, you know, watch you plan all this and like help you do that, obviously, in the program as well. And I know that now you're like putting out weekly posts on Instagram, which are just incredible, because you can put the time into it and learn new skills. And like, it looks really good. And I know it's going to pay off a lot, because you're really focused on that work. And obviously most people, like the biggest issue, right, is like, well, I don't have time to do my personal projects because I'm like working all the time, right? So that's kind of the situation you're in now because of the template business. And obviously you put a lot of hard work in last year to build that up, but you kind of had a plan, right? That's what you were going to do. You're like, okay, this is the year that I'm going to spend doing this, and then that's going to allow me to do that. So I always like to think of that. It's sort of like working in seasons in your business. I don't know whether you feel like the same way. So you're like, all right, I'm doing this because I know that in the future I want to kind of work more towards that goal, and that's going to allow me to do that. I mean, how do you kind of look at that?
Yeah, I do see it like that. But I think that, that's something that I learned through the accelerators, that I underestimated how much time was required. So I thought that update was going to take 6 to 7 months, and I was getting super pumped, checking out School of Motion, Motion Design School, being like, oh, I'm going to do this in July and this one in September. And September rolled around and I'm not even like starting marketing, branding, any of that stuff yet. So I guess seasons, but extended seasons. So things have taken a lot longer than I thought, but I'm fine with that. because that's just part of like the journey. I just totally underestimated things, and they still have worked out just over a longer period of time. And I'm still very happy with the position that I'm in today. I still got there just a little bit later.
Yeah. And I think that's a good, like, realistic kind of message to put out there, right? Because it does take time. You know, even with Motion Hatch, you know, everything takes longer than I expect it to, you know, always, like, even no matter how much you plan and everything like that, it always takes you a little bit longer. Like, we're launching our YouTube channel, hopefully in September. I keep saying that to everyone so that everyone holds me accountable. But, you know, I've been trying to work on like officially launching, because we actually do have a YouTube channel already, but putting out weekly videos for like, I've been working up to this for about 2 years, I think, you know, because I didn't want to kind of let the podcast suffer or anything like that. You know, I wanted to kind of really concentrate on that before I moved into YouTube and all of that kind of thing. So I totally get that. And I think it's great to kind of put this message out, because obviously, yes, like, it is possible to sell templates online. It is possible to make money on the side of your freelance business, all of this kind of stuff. But it's not going to just happen like overnight, you know, and you have to work hard at it too. Like, it's what we always saying about passive income, you know, it is passive income, but you have to put a lot of the work up front on it to kind of get that passive income later, right?
Right, absolutely. And I think, yeah, like I said earlier, like, people shouldn't focus on just trying to, you know, from the start, just build up the money, just experiment with as many different things as possible. I think I was kind of fortunate for having that accounting project in a way, because it kind of forced me to look online at as many different things as possible and just brainstorm how I could use the knowledge that I had of like 3D, the knowledge I had of Final Cut Pro, Apple Motion, and sort of the branding experience that I had working on the companies that I did, and use that to create something on an online platform that did already exist. And people are going to have their own sort of, you know, expertise in matters that suits them a lot better. And maybe something that doesn't even exist on the online platform yet does arise, and you'll find, you know, time to do that, or just make the time and don't put too much pressure on yourself. I think that that's also important. I think, yeah, during the accelerator this year, I had some wild idea that I'd have a website by the end of it, which is crazy. I mean, I didn't even have enough content that I was proud of to make a reel of 10 seconds with. So I think that's, yeah, if there's anything I take out of it, like, don't expect things to happen super quickly. Just enjoy the lessons. And if you can, maybe review month to month what you did in that month that you learned something from. And it could be horrendous failure, but there's far more to gain from failure than there is from success.
Yeah, definitely. That idea of fail fast, I'm a big fan of, you know, just keep putting stuff out there. And like failure is such a kind of weird word anyway, because it's like, what we might think of as failure isn't like actually like, it's not like a crazy failure that, you know, everyone in the world's going to know about. You know, most failures that motion designers have are pretty kind of small, right? So like, I feel like it's like you put some work out there and nobody likes it, you know, like it doesn't matter that much is what I'm trying to say, you know. And I feel like what this podcast has taught me a lot is just to like ship stuff, just keep putting stuff out there. You know, I have to put a podcast out every other week because everyone's expecting it. So that's kind of taught me to just keep doing that and keep going. And also, like you mentioned, what we were talking about in the accelerator a lot is, you know, making sure you make a plan. And another thing is, like, you know, share your wins with people. Like, think about that. Think about what you've done in the past month or the past quarter and think about, okay, what went well, what didn't go so well, and how can we adjust, you know?
Right. And then also just look back on that stuff, because I mean, I've been regularly reviewing my months for years now, and I will link something from like February last year that relates to something that has quite recently happened, and there's an opportunity. So yeah, I think that it's quite important to put down what your wins and your failures are for a month, because they could lead into a future success combined with something that you've learned more recently, or at least the lessons that you've learned there that can combine quite well with something else that you've learned more recently.
Yeah, definitely. So do you want to tell the audience what's one thing you want them to take away from this episode?
I think that when I first looked at an Envato looking at templates, I saw it already as a totally saturated market. And that was 2016. And I suppose I looked at it like that because it had been around for 2009. And so when I did start putting stuff on there, like I said, it was for personal projects, but I thought there's no way that I'm going to put a titles package together or that it will have any success. But I think you should keep open-minded that just because something's been around for such a while doesn't mean that there's no opportunities there. So, I mean, with templates, for example, animated typography posters have become quite popular as a niche over the last sort of year and a half. So, yeah, don't be closed-minded to opportunities that have already existed for an extended period of time and just test things out. I would say, I mean, yeah, see if you can commission yourself to do a personal project that can also be a logo sting for something that's quite niche. That worked out for me, and sort of, if anything, it just sort of started the journey for me to think more proactively about what my own expertise could lead me on a journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you want to tell the audience a bit about where they can find out more about you and your work?
Of course. So on Video Hive, you can find me. The username is Vistina. So that's V-Y-S-T-I-N-A. That's probably another funny part is to mention that that brand was created. I didn't know what to call it. So that was the first portion of my university password that I thought, okay, I'll just use this for now. It'll work as a brand so I can make a few dollars off this rugby thing. And now it is obviously 6 years down the line and a lot bigger than what I ever invested in it. Otherwise, Bashwax, if you want to check out what the creative stuff that I'm working on now, that is on Instagram and Dribbble. So that's B-A-S-H-W-A-X.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Justin. And we'll put all the links as well in the show notes so everyone can find them easily. So thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been great.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Justin for coming on the show. If you want to find all the links we mentioned, remember you can always go to the show notes at motionhatch.com/95. Make sure you check out his templates and also his new studio, Bashwax. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate you. See ya.